20-somethings who are either married or in committed relationships who say their unions are more secure and more honest because they don't believe in monogamy.
I just took off my clothes and I had to do it.
Talking about swinging, or as it's known now, living in the lifestyle.
We're going to have to give you some quinine.
Technically, an orgy requires a minimum of 6 participants.
What about my three-way?
This is a new generation of swingers.
Waves of it coming at you on Friday, Saturday. By Sunday, your nuts going to be drained.
Oh.
All right, everyone, welcome to Swinging Around, the sex positive podcast about swinging and sex. I'm Cal.
I'm JB, and today we've got a special treat for you. We are doing an interview with a couple of friends of ours who also happen to hold their own sex parties at home.
Yep, we have Amy and Derek here, and they run the behind closed doors parties in the local area here in Michigan. And so we're excited because it's our first interview. So we wanted to sit down and have a chat with them. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Derek.
I'm Amy.
And we are lifestyle people.
So why don't you tell us, for our listeners, a little bit about you guys as a couple, maybe how long you've been together, how you got into the lifestyle.
You want to take this one?
Well, we were friends in high school, and after high school, we kind of didn't see each other, but we never dated when we were in high school. We were just friends. And then after high school, we ran into each other.
So you were just friends? Any benefits?
No.
No.
No benefits.
No benefits there, but we did hang around a lot at lunch hour and stuff. She was the only girl that I actually kept letters from all the girls that I had gotten in school.
So
I threw them all away. She was the only one I kept. So when we reconnected, I showed her the letters, and that kind of surprised her that I kept, out of all the letters I had, I kept only hers.
So even early on, you had a thing for that pussy.
I didn't. No.
Chasing the pussy.
No. If I would have dated her in high school, without having a free hall pass like I do now with a wonderful wife that I have, she would have thought I was an asshole, and she would not have dated me later. So things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we fell apart, and then I found out later she was basically stalking me.
Oh, yeah.
She was stalking me, and we ran into each other, and we started dating back in 97?
95.
So, 95, and we started dating from there, and we quickly got engaged and got married within 2 years.
Yep.
So we basically have known each other for 22 years, been married 15 years.
You might want to check the math.
I don't know. besides our wedding anniversary, our kids' anniversary, and our party dates, everything else is pretty much not on my calendar, remember. So
you mentioned you're a lifestyle couple. How did you guys get involved? Like, whose idea was it to start?
Well, everybody always knows it's always the man's thing, you know, man's choice to get into lifestyle.
Well, and I don't know. I've met Amy. She's pretty risque. So.
Now she is, but, you know, society puts this, you know, stigma on life and what's required in a relationship and sexually. So it's hard to get past that stigma and those so-called requirements to live in a society that says that you should be monogamous for your whole life with only one partner. So. And that's the way she was raised. But I knew she had some spunk in her with all the things she said and did when we were dating, you know, telling me I'm not wearing any underwear and stuff like that. And
I think it was the story of me telling him that I was at the bar with a couple people that I worked with, and I approached two of the guys and was like, hey, you want to have a threesome?
Yeah.
I think he was hooked.
I think,
were you serious, then? Or did you actually get on?
Three Long Island iced tea serious.
I was serious, but they were like, no, we probably shouldn't.
Thank God.
Which means they wanted to, but don't want to take advantage.
I think they thought, you know, that it would be awkward probably at work. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think a lot of people want to do things, but have that concern of being rejected, and that's one of the benefits of being in a lifestyle. You can truly freely be exploratory, you know, and not have to be judged by your mate, and actually have the approval, you know, so you get to be a little bit more risque and you know, almost act, you know, punch drunk. And you know what I'm saying? When you meet a couple, you know, you got nothing to lose because, you know, you got your best partner with you in your corner who's going to support you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but...
So were both of you raised in monogamous households growing up, or was there any non-monogamy? Were you introduced to it any at an early age, or was it you two discovered it yourselves? And
I was raised in a household where my mom raised me from the when I was two. So my parents split when I was two, and I didn't really have a male role model in my life until I was probably about 10 or 12. Because my mom got remarried when I was 14. So it was very non-sexual because mm-hmm. my mom was just, you know, a mom, and she didn't share any of that really. Mm-hmm.
But your stepdad raised you, so there was a male figure. But
yeah,
you know,
but it,
we don't want people to believe that, you know, only people that get in the lifestyle or become strippers or become porn stars or come with from relationships or family lives that are screwed up. Like a lot of people like to use as an excuse to say that's the only reason why a swinger would be because they had a horrible child life or they were sexually abused, which cannot be farther from the truth because it's more about the relationships you make and the friendships you make in the lifestyle than the sex. It seems like the longer we are in the lifestyle, the more we are choosing not to have sex and be more selective. Kind of, you know, it's just, it's becoming like we prefer it to be more of a social thing, you know. We pick and choose our moments, AKA pick and choose our couples that we want to play with. We don't just go out and sleep with just anybody. Okay, sometimes we do. Depends on the situation. But I want to make sure it's clear that people know that that's not, that's at least 75% of the lifestyle people are not like that. They are just good, you know, solid people with good careers. They've got just as much to lose if people knew that they were in the lifestyle as anybody, you know, would be concerned, I guess, if I'm saying it right. So
yeah, that's a great point. I've mentioned it before. I was raised in a Catholic household. My parents, you know, have been together for over 40 years. So
yeah,
getting into swinging has nothing to do with my upbringing. Yeah. If anything, it's like anti my upbringing.
Yeah, my parents are been together, never been divorced.
In fact, his parents will be celebrating like their 50th wedding anniversary
next year. They've been married 50 years. You know, have a sister. And my parents had never came out and freely said that they swung. But, I mean, when you're a kid and you just recall certain incidents that didn't look right and you kind of put two and two together, I had asked my parents many times growing up. They never, my dad would flat out say no because he comes from a very, you know, religious, you know, a very background and strict background. But my mom was the one of the wild ones, so my mom would never answer the question until I had to bring the question to my mom that I felt that I had to let her know that we're hosting parties and why our house has been kind of turned into I guess, you know, a sex palace, you know, with lockers and stuff.
I definitely want to talk about that more.
We're sitting here, and we'll get to it a little later when we start actually talking about your parties, but we are sitting in your awesome basement that is... It is a swinger's paradise down here, you guys. It's awesome. I remember when the first party we came to, you come down and you're not sure what to expect. It's at a house party, but there's gonna be a lot of couples, and you're like, well, how big is this house? How many couples can it hold comfortably? And we know they're already, like, we know there's gonna be like about 50 couples there or so. Like, how is it gonna be? Then you get here and you're like, oh, this is nice. This is awesome. The indoor hot tub and everything.
Yeah. We very much geared the house up, to around house parties, but you wouldn't know it, without, extensive setup time before the parties, which, I believe that's one of the questions they want to ask us later. So we'll definitely tap on that one later. But to sum up the question about, my parents know, so that way they understand why we're always having parties once a month. And having large groups over.
And why they're babysitting.
And why they babysit.
once a month,
which they go there anyway, but it's just, my parents have never been judgmental. And, so my parents are pretty cool. I come from a good raised family, nothing screwed up, never abused, no nothing. So it wouldn't, they can't use that as a reason why we got into swinging because our marriage was messed up or our sex life wasn't good or anything like that. We got into it, which is the typical, you know, three reasons why most couples get in it, to either spice up their relationship, to seek out new friends with, that are, have open minds, or to experience, to hit their, bucket list, it's called.
Well, we, in fact, with our marriage, we moved pretty quickly in our relationship. So we had been dating for like 2 months and we already knew that we wanted to get married. So, I think we probably had a lot of people, like I know my parents, you know, didn't think that our relationship would last and, you know, it has. But it's in
now.
Fact,
now, do your parents know?
No.
Okay. No.
Yeah. No.
Our nobody, parents don't know either.
Nobody in our family.
We wouldn't be ashamed if they found out. It'd just be like we don't. You know, we're not. I mean, we put ourselves out there. You mean on? You know, we're currently. You know, we obviously we're on swinging lifestyle. We have our profile pictures. We have our names up there. Who we are. You know, we don't hide the fact that we're swingers. We're not ashamed of it. You know, we would defend it to, you know, to the very end, anybody who tried to attack us, because we've had nothing but overall good experiences with the lifestyle and met more good people than bad people. But
yeah, most of our friends are lifestyle people, and if we're with our vanilla friends, we're like, man, we wish they were in the lifestyle. Because
you have to like censor yourself.
Yeah, even
a
just
lot,
just the conversation. Yeah. I mean, you guys had a barbecue. We were over last weekend, and just, you know, there wasn't even any playing, or at least before we left, there wasn't any. I don't. There might have been. We don't know what happened afterwards.
Not really.
No
really.
Playing.
But there was no playing. But still, you could have open conversation, and you just don't have that when you know you just have to censor yourself a little bit, or
right,
you know,
you just
can't have that open.
Yeah, here you can have the flirting, you have the permission, knowing that all parties, because it was a vanilla bonfire with lifestyle people, which is just a group with people to get together and be able to have our host, generous host here, had said open conversations, flirting, kissing, not make out kissing, but you know, a different heightened level of fun of be able to not have to worry about offending somebody by saying a very, you know, crude joke, or you know, it's definitely, we found real quick after being in lifestyle and been hosting parties, we prefer no other than lifestyle people, even people that we are not physically attracted to, but we are mentally attracted to them and love their company and love the flirtatious relationship we have with them. And we would rather spend our time with them than go out and seek new vanilla friends. We just call, I mean, most vanilla friends that we would meet are just too boring. I mean, it really is.
I think the thing with lifestyle people is they're very open about their relationships and their sexual relationships, and I think it just makes it easier. You're just more comfortable that you can say and do anything, and they're not really going to judge you because they're probably thinking or have done or have said the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and what's nice is you can always smack an ass and no one's going to get offended,
right,
or tell someone that, man, those tits look good. Can I motorboat you? And
right.
You just do it. So
right.
You're not going to do that with your vanilla friends. So so if you remember, can recall, what was your first swinger event like?
Before we get to there, how, like, so Derek already let the cat out of the bag that, you know, it's and using what he said, you know, it's always the guy who initiates. But so how was the conversations before? I mean, you know, if it's like us, you have a number of conversations before you decide to go to an event or do anything. So how was the conversations before and leading up and deciding to go to, was your first event a couple meetup, or was it a party?
Well,
or
when we first got married, we had friends that were married about the same time that we were, and now they're divorced, because our relationship has seemed to outlast
all of our friends.
Everybody that we know.
Well, you swing.
I wonder why.
Right.
But we didn't always swing.
But we would, mostly the two guys would joke around like, hey, let's swap and, you know, stuff like that. And us girls were like, no, you know. But it wasn't, on my part, it was just because I was like the opposite of attracted to him. I was like totally not attracted to him at all. And I wasn't really interested in exploring, you know, anything with girls at that point either, so.
Yeah. When we were first together, I wasn't even allowed to go to a titty bar. She was that, no, mm-hmm. that would be considered cheating. Nope. Mm-hmm. It was completely, you know, you're not allowed to look at a girl, you're not allowed to touch a girl, you're not allowed to go to a titty bar, and I had no problem with that, you know. But always wondered, you know, always dabbled and bought those Michigan Lifestyle magazines and looked through them and said, well, you know, it's something that you can't push on your better half. It's something that you can only hope that if that reality comes to light and both parties come together at the same moment in life and be able to connect and want to do that and have that security and that trust, and it works. So. And I knew that going in, that if it was just a fantasy hoping to make a reality of swinging, or at least messing around and, you know, do some things, but never was something that was a deal breaker with my wife, with Amy. So I would bring it up, and it would always turn into a fight at first, you know, because she was, you know, had some issues about, she didn't have an issue about us.
I had no issue with me being with somebody else. Yeah. I had an issue of him being with somebody else.
Now, were you afraid that he was going to get romantically involved?
No. I just didn't want to share him, I guess. I don't know.
So how'd you work through it?
I just basically, you know, sucked it up. And, I mean, I just...
Literally?
You know. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's...
It was more than that.
Well...
A lot more. I mean, there's a whole timeline involved.
So there's a lot of sucking then.
A lot of sucking.
Mentally, it was a challenge mentally because
we got together.
It was a jealousy issue.
Yeah,
you know?
We got together. We got married. We had.
Had you already brought it up by then?
Oh, well, I brought it up when we were dating. You know, just to see where we were at. You know.
Oh, he would hint around. You know, at threesomes and
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
That, and I'm like, well, maybe in the future.
Yeah, you're more like, sort of, I don't like, think so. Like, you had a lot of insecurity
issues. Sort
of like
issues. Anal, which is still sort of a maybe in the future.
Yeah, right.
We have a whole episode on anal. You should listen, give it a listen.
Ain't going to help.
Am I making her blush? Oh, no.
It's not going there. So
that's
a Virgin Mary.
Is that no anal with swinging or just no anal in...
I haven't even tapped that yet. I think I've had a few fingers. That's about it.
Well, that's how you have to start off. Anyway,
yeah, so. but then she stops drinking. So,
the drinking is a must.
Yeah. But how she came around, it was more of a. I knew that she had it in her to swing because she was very outgoing and very like willing to try things. You know, we had open sex, like when we were first married over on Mackinac Island in the cemetery while people walked by. So, you know, things like that. And I'll tell this story.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're doing the typical stand-up missionary, stand-up bend-over sex, you know, just off the path on Mackinac Island. And
we had sex on the beach.
We had sex on the beach there, but we were like, well, I knew she had it in her because she was kinky, very kinky, because she's like, I'm getting ready to come. She's like, no, I don't want you to come in me. I want you to come right here on this log. And I'm like, okay, whatever the woman wants, the woman gets. So I shot my load right on that log, and then she's looking at it, and I'm like, what are you going to do? And she takes a picture of it. She was, I knew all the things led that I knew she had it in her. I just had to get her to understand that I am here forever. And we were together as a couple, and she can trust me. And because I trusted myself, I trusted her. I had enough confidence. I knew that I was okay to go right into swinging. Well, I thought. I had a few jealousy issues in the last couple of years. But you worked through
that.
She's
hot, of course.
Yeah. So, but then we got married. We moved to Australia. And when we lived in Australia, things are a lot more relaxed there when it comes to sex. And we met a few couples there, and and had tried some recreational drugs by accident. They kind of slipped it into us and slipped it to her, and had some, what I guess you guys, everybody would call soft swap, but clothes on, kissing, mm-hmm. and groping, and, you know, things like that. So I'm like, wow, you know, with the right chemicals, she'll do anything, but I don't want to have to take chemicals to get her to do anything.
The right chemicals, she'll do anything.
Yeah, you know? So alcohol.
So were you just joking that you didn't know that they slipped it in?
They asked us to smoke weed, and I'm like, had to drive, so I didn't want it, and they crushed up ecstasy and put it in the weed, and she smoked it.
So you were like, I don't know.
I'm like, it's a love drug. And I'm like, well, and she's like, yeah, something's laced to that. I'm like, yeah, it's the first time you kissed another girl. You put your hands down another girl's pants. You kissed another guy. And she goes, well, did you get all jealous and stuff? I'm like, no, it was hot. And so I knew it was just prelude of just time. Then we moved back from Australia after 3 years plus. And, We were the type of couple that was like, if you put a kid within 2 inches of us, we'd want to kill it because, you know, crying, get that kid out of here. We did not want kids, no kids, no kids. And our whole life turned upside down, and we decided we wanted to do kids. We wanted to have kids when we got back from Australia, so we had kids.
Before that, though, we went to...
Well, we went to a place called Motor City.
We went to Motor City.
When it was in their old location down in... I forgot where it was at.
Livonia
area.
The Quality Inn there?
Yeah, the old, I think it was. So. Now they're up in Saginaw. Yeah. But, and it was very clicky. It was not a good experience for her.
We stood against a wall and nobody talked to us and everybody stood in their little cliques. And
she said, well, if this is what the lifestyle is going to be all about, forget it. I gave it a break again. I kept never harping on it, but always bringing up the conversation and let her run the show, let her just guide what we talked about and how we talked about, make sure I didn't push the wrong buttons because she had to feel comfortable.
But then I got pregnant, and when I was pregnant...
Did you get horny?
I did, but I let Derek go to parties as a single male.
Oh, now that is fascinating because...
Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate trust.
Well, I never played. I went there to... I was going there to a place out and...
Did you go there with friends?
I didn't know that you didn't play. I just trusted
that
you didn't play.
So was the rule that he wasn't allowed to play? That was the rule? You can go, you can be in the sexy atmosphere, just bring it home and do me?
Yep.
I was more there helping and actually the gentleman that was doing out in Ann Arbor, it was called Friendships and Frills. and it was all like the group there was very old. It was an older group. So, and I went there to help out. And I was just there snooping. I was there to figure out how.
I wouldn't say that they were very old because.
Well, they were 50s plus. And not that 50s were old, but it was like the type of house party where everybody sat around, smoked and drank and didn't play. But I learned all his rules and stuff and how he ran it.
Was this
and
a house party? Was it a hotel party?
It was a house party. Okay. It was a house party that had been around for a long time. And so a lot of the couples and a couple of the couples that used to go to there that knew me come to our parties now. And they feel that they're too old to come to our parties. And we're like, no, everybody's hot in their own way. We don't discriminate against sex, race, age, you know, anything. Welcome one, welcome all for our house parties. So I went there and I kept bringing back the stories of, you know, kind of what was going on and the trust just kind of built from there. You know, we had kids now and she was more talking about it without, you know, think about going right from talking about it to getting jealous and just not wanting to talk about it anymore. Thinking all I wanted to do was to get in the lifestyle to have sex with other women. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't my goal. That was actually my first goal was I wanted somebody to fuck my wife and I wanted to watch that in. And she put this proposition out there that made me lay off on the lifestyle a long time ago. When we first were dating, she basically flat out, she's like, you want me to be with a girl? Fair enough. You got to be with a guy. And I'm like, no, fair enough. No. Then I came to her and I was like, Okay, fair enough. You take one for the team, I take one for the team. I'm not gay, but if that'll get you into bed, then the whole conversation got quiet. I'm not bisexual. I am okay with my masculinity. I can hang around with a whole group of gay guys and have a good time with them. It just don't swing that way. But in the lifestyle, you tend to, you never know who is and who isn't. So, so on that note, you know, all that summed up to the end of the story. I sat down and we decided, I was like, you know, let's have a party. And I,
Motor City party, was that really the only other party that you guys had been to together as a couple before you decided to start having parties?
Yeah, we jumped in with 2 feet, splash right into the deep end. Our first party was our first full swap. We just went full swap at our party, and it was in January of last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, January of last year. So, and a lot of people can't believe that because we're completely, like, we like to believe we're a completely drama-free couple. At least in public. Everybody has their own drama when it comes to couples. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find good couples who can take their issues that they have, because everybody makes mistakes in the lifestyle with each other as a couple, and you have to learn to deal with those on a private matter than to blow up, you know, which is called, you know, public drama, I like to call it. Keep it private, you know? Go someplace private and talk about those issues. We end up having our first party in January. We had about 27 couples for our very first call.
It was probably like just about 20, maybe.
20?
Like 18 to 20 couples.
So how nervous were you? You've never really swung before. You've only been to one lifestyle party, and now you're having all these couples at your house to fuck.
I wasn't nervous.
I was more
nervous of, like, what was going to happen, like, was somebody going to fall down my stairs or spill something on my carpet? I wasn't really worried about the sex part.
Or somebody going to steal something out of the house because you have all these strange people in your house. Mm-hmm. I was more worried that the house was cleaned up. The house was going to be cleaned up enough. The food was going to be made right, you know, so because we don't just throw out chips and crackers, you know.
And so you both still managed to get off that night, too?
Yes and no.
Well, he did, but I didn't because I started my period that night.
Yeah, she started to play with a guy. He was her first black guy. And then she started her period, so she couldn't finish. And I'm like, I know the first person I played with. And, you know, I know who she is, and I don't think she knows we were, but no one would even believe us. Even to this day, we tell them that, well, our first full swing event was at our house party, you know, a year and a half ago, quite a few months ago now. And we've never looked back, you know, because we waited. We've waited to do everything in life. We waited almost 9 years before we had kids, you know, so it's not something we just jumped into. We talked, and, you know.
And really, from our first house party to our parties now, we really haven't changed much. So, I mean, we really, you know, as far as how we run the parties, you know, there's been some little tweaky things that we've done, but we haven't really changed. So, I mean, we really, really thought about it and planned it.
I did. I was always hoping in the back of my mind, ever since we were together, I was always buying stuff and putting stuff on the shelves, hoping that if I got the opportunity,
what the hell do you need that shit for?
What do you need lockers for? I'm like, I don't know. I'll put them in the garage.
Did you really buy the lockers before you decided to?
Yeah. Yep. I bought lockers, video games, crock pots, knickknacks. My basement's filled with a breathalyzer.
He was like a secret swinger before you were swinging.
I said if I was going to go, I'm the type of person, if I do anything, I do anything. I do it 110%, as you can tell by my house and my basement, you know? And I'm still improving. I want that wow factor. When people come to my house party, I want them to be wowed.
Well, you definitely have that. I mean, like we were saying, you come, we didn't know what to expect. We came to our first party last July, I believe, and, you know, you don't know what to expect because it is that somebody's, it's just at a house, and you guys, you don't know it. You come up, it's just a normal house. You pull up, and you have a normal house, and then even you come in the front door, still a normal house, but then you come down to the basement, and especially when you have it's a party day, you got, you know, it's, I mean, you, the basement is awesome. You walk down and you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
like, this is
well, there's like half naked women all over the walls.
Yeah,
even that... now, and it's not a party day, which leads to other questions. But...
Well, this is up because we have a party coming up next weekend on the 22nd, June.
But yeah, the basement's really awesome. You got all the SLS stuff up, and you guys have a partnership with Cassidy now, right? Because you have the Cassidy stuff up on the wall, and
yeah,
you guys are.
Yep, which is another website that we're trying to promote for them. They're more located on the opposite side of the planet here, but, you know, in Vegas is where most of their members are located, out in California, Florida, Texas,
they've got a lot
Arizona,
of people in, like, Chicago.
Chicago, and they're trying to hit Michigan. So we decided to, you know, sponsor them a little bit you know, them some more members here in Michigan. I mean, so, but our main bread and butter is SLS, Swing Lifestyle.
That really seems to be the, you get the sense, I mean, we've only been swinging since we've been in Michigan. Well, I mean, we've been in Michigan forever, and SLS really seems to be the place. I know that it seems like there are regional, it's kind of like there's regional sites, but yeah, we got online, and when we first started getting involved, you know, you do just a Google search on swinging or whatever, and swinging in Michigan, and SLS is the first thing that comes up, or at least it was as of a few years ago when we got involved. And so, yeah, it's definitely the one around here, but I see Cassidy more and more for stuff. They're up and coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if they're probably further along than up and coming, but they're coming. Yeah, I feel like their presence in Michigan is getting a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to talking about starting your parties again. So Derek was buying all this stuff prior to, you know, getting ready. But what
now,
sorts of...
was that while you were helping work at the other party? So you kind of saw some of the stuff that they had and had an idea of what you might need.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, is what you needed, what you needed to think about in terms of throwing
the
party.
The preparation.
Well, the thing that you need to think about is, where is everyone going to put their shoes? And where's everybody going to, you know, hang their coats? And where's everybody going to put their stuff? I mean, their clothes and their coolers, you know, if they bring coolers, and their bags. And, you know, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds weird, but, you know, then all of a sudden you have, you know, 100 shoes sitting there and you're thinking, all right. I mean, we've had people go home
with wrong shoes
or they've left their shoes here.
Funny story.
We have 120 shoes at the front door, literally.
Yep.
50 couples, people are like, so we had, I mean, and we're constantly trying to improve to treat this as a club. This is not, we try to tell people on SLS, and a lot of people get, I mean, not a lot, but we've had some people just ignore us on SLS, and they're like, no, thank you, house party's not for us, it's too intimate, and it's hard to explain to them that our house party is we've had more people describe our house more as like a small club than an actual house party, because the space available to mingle and drink at the bar and choose to party and play then go into the playrooms.
So why don't you describe a little bit about what a typical party here is like? That way our listeners know what we're talking about a little bit more.
Well, our typical party usually starts at 7 o'clock, and we have a social, which is something that we've found over time is we've had more positive reviews and responses to the social part from 7 to 10, where people come dressed to impress, like a bar, at BYO, bring their own liquor, because it is a private house party. We supply all the mixers and all the stuff, the typical house parties, but we offer a little bit more because we cook. We start cooking, oh, God, the hours that are put in alone to the house party. We start planning for that week's party on Monday with shopping. We shop 3 times that week for food, Monday, Wednesdays, and then Thursdays again for anything that's on the food list, because we make everything as fresh as we can and try to buy as little as possible that's ready-made. So the food alone is what takes up more of the time.
And cleaning.
And cleaning.
Because we have kids, so, you know, kids always mess stuff up, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, the cleaning is...
Yeah, and the kids then go to grandma's house on that day of the party, and they're there from 12 noon until until roughly 12 noon the next day. Well,
like
9 o'clock.
Between 5 and 7 the next morning. So
yeah, so we pull a 48-hour up. We're up 48 hours.
That's a long day. That's a long couple days.
From Friday morning, Friday night, don't go to bed till 3 in the morning. We start, well, let's take a step back. We start prepping and cutting all the vegetables and all the stuff for the Peru that we've decided to make, again, from scratch on Wednesday. We start cooking and prepping the stuff to get all the ingredients ready to go on Thursday night, and we go grocery shopping again and buy the stuff that we've missed. And then Friday, we spend all day start prepping and cooking and getting everything ready to be, you know, heated up for Saturday. And we start, and then we get it all prepped, and then we cook from 8 o'clock at night until 3 in the morning Friday night. Then we get like a couple hours sleep, and then we're back up at 9 in the morning Saturday.
How do you find the energy to swing?
Yeah, how do you find the energy to fuck?
A lot of times we don't, because it's like, you know, we're hosts first and we play last, because we want to make sure every one of our guests are taken care of and looked after.
What should a guest expect when they get here at 7? What kind of festivities go on?
The meet and greet.
Eating and drinking.
Eating and drinking.
I mean, we have, you know, food out at 7. You know, people get here, between 7 and 10, and a lot of times people are like, well, why can't we just, you know, play whenever? And, you know, we think it's really important to have that time to get to know other couples to see if there is an attraction. Because, I mean, we've met couples before at, you know, a bar, and then, you know, you don't hit it off, and then you're like, well, there's a whole
now
night.
What?
That, yeah. You
wasted
know.
A whole night meeting up with a couple because their profile pictures aren't what they are. You
yeah.
know, they're 10 years old
and there's no
personality there. I mean, you want to fuck them, but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to spend 3 hours hanging out with them trying to figure out conversation.
Yeah.
The conversation's over in 5 minutes.
So, you know, we kind of think, you know, if you have that time, then you can kind of figure out who you're attracted to and. You know,
mm-hmm. So it's a house rule. No fucking until after 10.
Right.
Well, until after we go over house rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yep.
You know, we have strict rules. We've had not a lot, but we've had some couples have strictly sent us emails back on SLS and say, we don't want to come to your parties because we have too many rules. And I'm like, really? Too many rules? And I just kind of scratched my head to say, wow, if you can't follow the simple rules, which no means no, and you know,
yeah, like
communicate among yourselves before.
What rules? Don't trash my house.
What I mean, it's
they
kind of common sense. There's certain things that just swingers, as in general, have to, you know,
yeah,
swinger etiquette.
Be respectful of
those
each other.
Those are the common rules.
But then there's
have.
Also you're, it's at somebody's house, so you know, you,
right.
you know, you have, you know, please respect my stuff. You're at my house.
Right.
So,
hey,
what
don't
rules
touch my
they,
kid's room.
What rules they did not like?
Yeah.
One said they didn't like having to take their shoes off at my door.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I'm like, really? I guess, I mean, it's my house. I mean, you can't respect my house and take your shoes off at least. Then don't come. But
we did have somebody that had an issue that we had a, like, you can't bring drugs into the house. And
yeah.
You can't.
No illegal drugs.
No, no weapons and guns. And
what do they want?
Like,
come on.
Yeah, they're like, we don't like the guns and weapons law.
They're like, it's too
rule.
Restrictive.
We're like, what?
To be,
too
like,
restrictive.
What are you going
to
do?
Like, I know. We're like, are you kidding
you're here
us?
To have sex, not
we've,
to...
Well,
we've,
to be,
seen, we've heard and seen a lot.
To be honest, these
lifestyle.
Individuals sound like you probably don't want to have... You don't
yeah.
want
to
deal with
them anyway.
You don't want these,
you
don't want problems like, you know...
Exactly. And they've done us a favor by giving us the not wanting to come, you know, and then after... And a couple of these couples who had issues about our rules, some have had, they didn't like the fact that they had to get naked and we're like, well
they don't have to get
you don't
naked.
Have to get naked. That's the question. People don't understand when we have a social from 7 to 10, 10:30. If we're still waiting on a couple, especially a new couple, we'll wait for them to get here because we have a security guard. You don't get past our security guard to even get on the property. If you're not on the list, you don't get past our security guard to even get up to the house. And we have a lot of people who enjoy having that security to know that if you're not on the list, you're not coming through those, you're not getting in our house. But we've had people who don't like the fact that come 10 o'clock, we have a wardrobe change into something more comfortable. You don't have to get naked.
Can my tits finally come out? It's after 10.
Yes. It's okay. Once we go through the rules.
The shirt, no, I mean right now. The shirt's going to come off.
Right now? Oh,
okay. Oh, his eyes lit up.
I know.
Eyes right now? Shirt's off? That would definitely be a heightened interview.
That's something that I really like is that the word, just the transition from, you know, just the social mingle to the sexy times is, I don't know,
it helps push people in that direction.
Because if you didn't
did
do that.
Did you just say erection?
No, sexy times.
No, but I feel like if you didn't, it would,
there'd be more gawkers standing around.
Let me not speculate. Like, so what, when you guys were planning, like, for parties, did you think, you know, how should the night go? At what point did you decide, well, this is how, like, we're going to have this wardrobe change at 10?
From the parties I used to go to.
Okay. Because, yeah, there has to be a point. It's like, how do we make people fuck now?
Yeah. Well, we don't want to make...
We've told them that they
couldn't
fuck.
Our parties
are
not required to play.
But now we need to tell them that it's okay
to
fuck.
How do you get them
to transition?
Let's be honest. Everybody would love to see the merchandise before they play. And so to get you out of a pair of pants, it's more for the guys to get out of their blue jeans so the women feel comfortable. Because anybody who would beg to differ, the lifestyle is all about the woman. It's not. It's all about the women. If you're a couple, you take care of the woman. Your woman, make sure she's comfortable. You know, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. I mean, there's some truth to that. So, I've had a lot of couples who are very had strong opposition about coming because they were worried about the wardrobe change and they didn't want to get naked. And we've had to spend many hours on SLS explaining to them that's not what it's like. You know, if you've ever been to other parties like Motor City or Cap City or Club Diversity or 616, and they have their theme parties, you know, sexy lingerie night, if you feel comfortable changing into something like that, that's pretty much what we require, the minimum. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get naked, but we have our regulars. We call them our regulars, our personal friends, because until we meet somebody for the first time and they come to our house, they are considered guests. And once they've been here and we have a good evening with them, drinking and playing, you know, hanging out with them, not necessarily playing with them, they now become our personal friends. So our personal friends come to our parties and they're dying, they're itching to get out of their clothes. And I tell everybody who's new, we call them, you know, AKA fresh meat, you know, it's a joke, and I kind of, you know, start the night off with some jokes. But there will be people that will be getting right into their birthday suits. And if that's going to be a problem, that's the best time to pack your bags and leave. And
the funniest thing to me is we have this, you know, wardrobe change thing, and people will line up to go into the bathroom or the bedrooms to change into lingerie, and then these are the same people that, like, 3 hours later are totally naked, wandering around the house, and I'm thinking, so why did you feel like you needed to change in privacy?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe they feel vulnerable changing.
We tell them
to go
in the bedrooms and stuff,
screwing,
you know. I reckon one of your questions, and I know I'm the kind of person that'll skip around on questions. I got this fancy piece of paper, questions that they were hoping to stick to, so I'm trying to skip on these and cut them at the chase. So I apologize to my guests, their guests, if we seem to be a little flighty. I promise you we're not, unless we've been drinking.
No, it's a conversational podcast. We can flow. Those were just guidelines.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but the time spent is how much time do we spend to get ready for a party. Probably at least 4 times as much as an average small get-together house party that you hear out there because of the size of the home. We have well over a 6,000-square-foot home that's all play area alone. And everything, every nook and cranny has been cleaned, every sheet, every possible thing that you can think of if you went to a house party has already been thought of.
So now do you clean these nooks and crannies with your tongue?
No.
Is that later?
No.
He cleans my nooks.
I put a Swifter on my cock. It's that long. So, and I drag it around and clean the floors.
We really want to make sure that, you know, our house is clean when people come over, because we want them to take their clothes off. We want them to feel like they want to take their clothes off. And, you know, I know that if it was me and I went over to somebody's house and, you know, there was... No, it's just me.
The dirty floor.
Along the wall, there was, like, crumbs and hair and whatever. I would just be like, no.
Having animals, I mean, you've got some cats and we have dogs. I know it's like the hair just builds in crevices so easy, too. So I can appreciate that work. That's not easy.
We spent at least 20 hours each yeah. that week of cleaning, 20 hours of cooking, 20 hours of, and then cleanup. As soon as the people ask how late they can stay to play, and we say you can stay as late as you want or until the sun comes up.
So does your house smell like sex after?
Sometimes. Depends on if, God, I don't really want to go to that dark place, but there everybody's had that experience where there's been, and not any one particular couple, but that one particular couple where...
Or you walk into a room and you're like, dirty pussy, and you're like, really?
You know, you're like, oh, God. And everybody clears out, you know. And, I mean, we've had that more time than once, and that's been a real deal breaker for that room, and we've had to, you know, clean it up.
We had to get the Febreze out.
four or five bottles afterwards.
Oh, God. But it sounds like that's not the norm.
No, it depends.
No, you know,
it's not the norm.
It's not the norm. At our parties, it's the norm in the lifestyle. No matter where you go, you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, sex is dirty. I mean, that's
right.
No, but rotten crotch is a totally different story. You know what I mean, let's just call it like it is. You know what I'm saying? And in this lifestyle, there's still a lot of like. And I've found, I don't know. I'm a very good observer. Being a host and doing a lot of parties and having. God knows, I think at one time we had 150 people in the house at our New Year's Eve party. It was maxed. A lot of responsibility to host this party, physically, mentally, and you know, being the host with the mostest, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know.
Got a lot of women to fuck.
Yeah. you know, you have to, you know, we've seen it all. I mean, I can't say I've seen it all. Just when I think we've seen the most craziest thing and the most, you know, outrageous story, then the next one comes, you know.
Okay, you can't tease us like that. Yeah, you got to give us some stories now. What's some of the crazy stuff you've seen? Good, bad, ugly? Yeah.
Let's hear some funny.
Let's see.
Knock on wood. You hear me knocking? We've never had any fights at our house. Thank God, we've never had any jealousy issues because we've learned to avoid those couples. By just not having them back, that, you know, I've called the drama couples.
So you have had them here initially?
Just see that they're building, you know. People are excessive drinkers or, and we've met them at other events and said we would prefer not, they didn't come to the party. We wouldn't flat out tell them they can't come, but we won't pursue them and hunt them down. You know, like we do to ask them to come to our parties, to come.
Because you've gotten big enough now, I believe, where I'm sure... You've gotten past where you're asking people to come to your parties. People are seeing behind closed doors on SLS, and they're asking about it, right? And so
we still invite.
We still send over 300 emails a week, minimal.
We spend a lot of time on SLS.
We do a lot of networking. Promoting.
Do you typically meet all the couples, or have some interaction with everybody who's coming before they've actually been here?
Nope.
We will. That was another thing that I think I was nervous about. When we first started doing the parties, is not actually
knowing any
of these people that were coming, you know, to my house. And still, it's sort of a challenge. Now, you know, people come to the door, and I'm like, you've been here before, right? Because...
we have couples that come for once, and then they disappear off the face of the earth for 3 or 4 months, and then they come back. And it's like, I remember a face. I'm not good with names after a while. I never forget a pussy, and I never forget a set of boobs. So, but they have clothes on at the door. It's hard to tell. So, and I can't just ask them, can you show me your boobs real quick? Yeah, put your pants down. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And, but, yeah, it was a challenge. But now that we have so many of our regulars, our good friends that we like to call friends, we hope that they're our friends, you know, that they come, and there's always an overlap. Each party will have an overlap from the last party of people that have come, so there's already a beginning of a group. When they get here, the party's already, it's going to be a party no matter what. And these people that are regulars, 99% of them are non-clicky, non-like judgmental group.
I think probably at every party, at any given party, it's probably like a 50-50 ratio. 50% mm-hmm. of the people have been here before, and 50% have not been here before. And, you know, you can come to a party, and it's like meeting a whole new group of people. I mean, some of the people, you know, come to like every party,
Yep.
You know, I mean, but there's a lot of people, you know, like they'll come to a party and then a couple months later they'll come to a party again. Mm-hmm. You know, but then there's a whole group of people that those people have never met.
The people, you know, when they were here,
because they're always rotating.
But and you guys were hosting two parties a month now, but
we were last summer.
You've backed off to one a month, right?
Well, we were one of back. It's a 2-part question. You asked me one question. It's a 2-part answer to the question you just asked. One, you ask, do we meet these couples before they come to our house? And more often, no. But yes, I mean, there's only one other party that we are loyal to, Cap City, Capital City, right?
Capital City.
Yeah, Capital City Social Club.
Hosted in Lansing.
In Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say at the hotel, but everybody is out there who's listening, you know that party. The hosts that host that party, the three couples, are the best couples you'll ever meet. We're there every party. We have our regular room, 113. We have an open door policy where people can come down.
Now everybody knows what room to go to. Now we know where the party's at.
Yes, room 113. We booked the room for this upcoming season at Cap City in Lansing. We have an open door policy. We hand out over 600 to 1,000 Jell-O shots. And that gives us a chance for couples who are not sure about us and coming to our house party. We call that our network station, where people can come and meet us on a neutral level.
Oh, at the hotel party?
At the hotel party at Cap City. So that is our hub for our neutral grounds for meeting. And prior to that night, we were hosting a free meet and greet at a local bar and sports bar right there in Lansing, right before that party. So this is a full-time job for us to get our parties where they're at, where we get 40 to 50 couples every month. It's a lot of work. I mean, it's not something that just comes lightly because, we found that a lot of, it's just the way it is. A lot of people get, the lifestyle, is not their first priority. So they, like, a lot of people wait to the last minute to figure out what they're going to do. And so you have to be fresh on their mind. You constantly have to send them emails, kind of bug them, but it's not bugging them, saying, hey, you guys want to come to a party? This is our party. Oh, you have a party? Yeah, it's on the event list on SLS. They're like, oh, we'll check it out. And then we don't hear nothing from them. Like, oh, you know, do you still interested in coming? Yeah. And we understand a lot of and you're in the lifestyle. I don't know if you've experienced or not, but, and it's with anything. And I can't blame any of the one particular couple for doing this, but I've seen it more often than not. A lot of people are procrastinators. They wait till the last minute to be able to have the best options, you mm-hmm. know, and, not that our parties are not worth putting on there. And it's mostly the new couples that have never been here. They'll put themselves on our list and then they'll wait and then they just don't sign up. And then, we don't hear from them and they went someplace else or something came up, you know, life comes up, but a lot of people wait to the last minute to have the best options because they're the ones that have never been to our party and understand that our party is it's a win-win situation. It's not going to be a small little group get together and you're all going to be hurdled in a tent, you know, out in the backyard to have sex. It's not like that.
We've heard from somebody that they went to a house party
here in Michigan,
and that's exactly what it was. It was it was in a tent.
In the backyard.
Oh,
and they do
that.
They do that.
And they were told, okay, first you're going to sleep with this person, and then you're going to sleep with
this person. They gave them designated playmates.
Oh, what the hell?
I would leave in a hot little hurry.
We have strong opposition with these people who are just doing bad house parties out there. I just don't think that, I don't know, I don't think that there's just bad house party goers. I think it's more of just the lack of, it just takes a lot. It's stressful. There's been plenty of times I've had a nervous breakdown from trying to organize a party because it's just when things go wrong, they go wrong. I don't tolerate any mistakes.
Well,
Everything has to be perfect for my guests.
Is that partially why you backed down to doing less, you know, from
parties
two to two a month to one a month?
No.
Lessen the burden? Because you guys, you know, 20 hours of cooking, like all that.
Every two weeks.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot.
No, we're still kicking it around. It depends on if we can get our personal issues together. You know, we got a lot of things that we put off last year that we need to do this year. Mm-hmm. You know, got to put a new roof on the house. You know, it light calls. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So we want to make sure we continue our one party a month and keep them at the same. We'd rather keep our standards where they are than let them sacrifice, because we have guests and friends that come that expect a certain standard at our house, and we don't ever want to let them down. You know, I take it personally. I want to make sure everybody who comes has a good experience and make connections. I mean, it goes way deeper than just asking you to come to our house party. And I mean, a lot of people don't understand when we ask a new couple to come to a house party and they've never been, we'll take the time to read their profile in and out and look what they're and find out what they're looking for. And once we have read their profile and we know what they're looking for, we will actually go out and start contacting lifestyle people that meet their kind of criteria. So our goal is to make connections. We want people to come and make a connection, regardless of whatever level of play they're on. We want to make that for them. And a lot of people don't understand that. That's a lot of emails back and forth doing that for them. They don't know we're doing it. We're like, hey, we got this couple who signed up. They're wanting to come. And, you know. And
literally.
What's that?
Literally. They want to come.
Yeah. They really want to come, literally. And we tell them that they're on the list. And anybody who knows SLS, that's on SLS, you look at club events, we're one or few, and more people are trying to mimic our way we do things. SLS allows VIP members that own clubs use a green thumb as verification that they're coming, but that's no guarantee, you know, of coming, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just saying that they're coming in, so you still really don't know who's actually coming to these other events. Our particular party, we do require a donation to cover house costs.
And we require that up front.
You don't pay at the door.
Do that at the door.
We don't accept any cash at the door. Mm-hmm. And so everything is donated in advance. So when a green thumb comes up on our profile, you pretty much can guarantee they've made their donation, because it's not a free party. Lots of money is invested.
They've at least paid to come.
You have to pay to come. And a lot of... So when you see a green thumb on a profile on our events, they've made their donation and they've committed to coming. So you are going to have a 99% chance of meeting that couple compared to going to any other event where you like, oh, I thought they were coming. Well, there's no obligation, because we tried it with the pay at the door, and we figured that was just too much of a headache. And
that's going to be tough to plan for you guys too.
Too much
you
money
don't know
food.
How much food.
Right.
Well,
there's that. There's also, like a safety issue as well. You know, I mean, people aren't stupid, they can, you know, do the math, and then, you know, we don't want somebody to go, oh, well, you have
X amount of cash in the house.
Mm-hmm. You know, and not that I think that, you know, people would do that, but you don't know.
It's still a risk. You know, if a donation for every couple, and then if you get upwards of 50 couples, it only takes one person to be like, I'm feeling low on funds, so I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
It could be a bad situation.
Yep.
So,
you know, we're like, this is how you do it.
Yep.
You know, then we have to, you know, we you know, purchase all the food and everything. That way we have, you know, that.
Our food bill usually is around $600 to $700 for just food alone, pop, water, ice,
then we provide
electricity.
We provide, you know,
everything you need.
Condoms. We have.
If you make a connection.
Right. I mean, we have. Lube.
Well, the condoms are there, whether or not you get to them.
Right.
we stress.
That's a big bowl of them too.
We probably have more towels than a hotel, you know, that we provide people. And, you know, we have.
I love laundry, by the way.
Yeah, we usually have.
That was probably a fun shopping trip when you were planning, like, let's go. We need to have 50 towels. And
I've been collecting them since the day we were dating. I've been buying stuff. I've been stacking them. My wife's like, "Why do you need containers of towels?" And I'm
like, "He's a towel hoarder."
I'm a towel hoarder.
I find that kind of fascinating. That not only did you want to get into swinging, but like you knew early on that you wanted to host parties, and that's. Mm-hmm. Does it ever, has it gotten to the point ever, I mean, you've only been doing it a couple of years, but I mean, you still have hosted a decent amount of parties. Does it feel like work, or do you still have a really good time? And I mean, is it work?
But it's fun work. I mean, it's.
I'm not gonna lie, and people think, oh, you're getting rich, and you know, people do the numbers, and they have no idea the cost to run a party the size of ours. We've sat down and figured it out, and we figured it out with the amount of hours that we take off work that week of that party. And we invest in the time of all the cooking, all the cleaning before, during, and after. We both end up making about $8 an hour. You know, it's a job, you know. So the hours that we put into it, we're getting paid. So, I mean, we've tried having employees work with us in the house. And they're like, oh, you get $55 a couple times 50 couples. And they do the math. They're like, that's a lot of money. But you try running the air conditioning for 24 hours straight to keep it cold. And here in the summer, you have food costs, you have, you know, gas bill, you have toilet paper. I mean, we have an itemized bill, and it costs us up near.
We have a shit ton of sheets. Shit ton of towels. We wash them all.
I bet even something like your septic tank has to get emptied more often.
Yep, we clean our septic tank every year. We clean it out. Yep. I had the septic guy here just last year. I haven't done it this year yet. He popped that tank lid and he's like, looked at it, and there must have been 2,000 rubbers floating in the toilet. In there. And he's like, he just looked at me, and I'm like, I had to let him in on the secret. Yeah, we do fuck parties here, because there's like, there's no way I'm that much of a stud to have that many rubbers in a year's time.
And yet you still have a sign in your bathroom that says not to flush.
Yes, please do not flush condoms down the toilet. People just don't listen. Yeah. You know,
you buy your condoms in bulk? First of all,
does Costco sell like bulk condoms?
That kind of relates to the last episode. We actually just bought. So, last episode we talked about we had just recently bought a variety pack of condoms for us, and we were just talking about the various types in there. They had what do we have? Like the lifestyles that's got all the different.
Yeah, there's like three different sensitivities, and there's like colors and flavors and.
It must have been out of date, right? Because she's pregnant. One broke.
Yeah, well,
we like them for anal, and we wanted to test out what we like for swapping. Yeah.
We started using them for anal, which we don't do very often, and it's whenever she just, you know, she decides when the woman decides. She decides when and if that's going to happen. And so we switched to using that for condoms, because if you, like, we found if we don't, then you gotta finish in there, which she isn't always happy with, or you gotta get up and clean, and that just kind of kills the mood. So then we just pop on the condom and then use that there. Plus, just testing them out because I think we told you at barbecue that we're a soft swap couple, but we've decided that since she's been pregnant, we made the decision. We've had a lot of time to talk and not actually do any actual swinging. So we've had a lot of time to talk, and we've decided to be full swap when we can get back into things. And so, you know, we'll be using condoms a lot too. So we kind of said, well, we'll try out this variety pack, see what we like for when we get back into it. Mm-hmm. But so going back to my question though, do you guys get them in bulk? Did you decide, okay, we're gonna go with Trojan over lifestyles, or like
it's
lifestyles
in that room?
We buy them in variety pack. We buy them in packs of like 5,000, 10,000 at a time.
Oh my god!
Wow.
We go through a lot of condoms, and we buy them from a place online called condomman.com.
Huh.
So, and they give you...
That's a bigger bulk than I would have even thought.
That is bulk.
You know, that's all different types of styles and colors and flavors. It's called the random pack. And we bought, actually, since we've been doing parties, we probably have blown through maybe 10,000 condoms.
Wow.
So here's a little
that's a lot of sex
that we had thought about with condoms. I think it's a good idea for us to have colored condoms, because then it's more of a visual. I mean, as swingers, then I can look from across the room and I can tell, you know, that he's got a condom on.
And it's not hidden.
And vice versa.
Because it's not, like, flesh color. It's not skin colored.
Right. Well, yeah.
You can look across and with a real quick glance.
That's
logistics
that you have had to think about because you're having a party. Right. But we've never, you know, it's things like that. We haven't, that it's so awesome to talk to you guys about.
You mean like a jerk and pull?
What's that?
A jerk and pull.
No, it's a pump and pull.
Pump and pull. I'm sorry.
What's the pump and pull?
Pump and pull. We came across a couple where...
At our party.
At our parties. and they were...
He was playing with you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I found this out on me.
No, you didn't, because you had single girls that were
watching. I had somebody watching, but she pointed it out, he started off with a condom, then...
Quickly.
He very quickly pulled it off and went back in.
Well, started.
And, well, yeah, he tried to.
Oh, man, that's so we not call it,
cool.
We call that
it's a not band. Cool.
You know, and if somebody wasn't watching, I mean, I can't look at
you
my crotch
know.
From, you know,
yeah.
that position. So, I mean, I
that's crazy.
Really
yeah, that,
wouldn't have
that's...
Man, that is so disrespectful and risky and dangerous.
Like,
and...
if you could kick someone out of the swinger community, if there is a way to just be like, okay, you can't swing anymore.
That's almost like, you got to leave right now, or I don't know. Don't...
Yep.
Oh,
very
yep.
dishonest.
Oh, that's... yeah. I mean, the girl said, she's like, Amy, he took the condom off. And she's like, what? And he's like, he went and changed it. He was very sly about it. So, and, you know, he hasn't been back to our party since.
Yeah.
So that answer heavy. We didn't have to ban him. It just, he kind of went on his own.
He knew.
And I don't even think his wife knew he was doing it. So.
Wow.
Not good.
But then there's guys out there that know how to make a condom break. I mean, I don't want to go on the negative side of it. You just, you know, lessons learned.
And that's why we were just talking earlier this week. We were just talking about once we get back into it and we actually are full swapping that, because we had talked, okay, well, she's pregnant with our first, and then, you know, is she going to go on the pill, or is she going to some sort of birth control afterwards, or do we just want to let a second one happen naturally at some point? And
what, from somebody in the lifestyle?
Oh,
No.
A second child, just between us, like, just let it happen when it happens. But then, but we just, with deciding that we're going to be full swap, we're not comfortable having a condom only method. So some sort of birth control for her is what, because I would just feel uncomfortable. We both talked about it, and we were uncomfortable just using condom. And I mean, and you saying that actually makes us even more firm that, you know,
yeah.
that
and, well,
we don't want the pump and pull.
Even though we're going full swap, we'll remain same room. So I know that we'll both still have an eye on each other too.
Yep.
So
yeah.
What about you two? Are you two same room or do you,
we have
different rules for different places.
Yeah.
I mean, in our, when we play outside of our house parties, we stick together. We play together. We don't venture away from each other to play.
Like, we know some couples, you know, they go to, you know, hotel parties and, you know.
They leave each other.
Yeah, I mean, like, one goes to some room and, you know, they're with who knows, you know, who.
For the whole night.
And, you know, their partner is doing their own thing. And to me, that's not why we're
doing it.
That's not why we're in this lifestyle. You know, we're
for
in this
us.
Lifestyle, you know.
We're in it for the event, for the experiences that we have together, even if we're not playing together with one particular couple. We're just still in, like, at Cap City, which is 90% of our stomping grounds. You know, we're too busy with a hosted party. We've seemed to, I mean, we haven't played a lot lately. We've kind of been just hitting a brick wall for the past couple months, just because we've just been so dead out running parties and networking and doing our free meet and greets at a bar in Lansing right before Cap City, and then doing Cap City, and then just life events. We just haven't had a chance to. We don't hook up with a lot of couples. Our barbecue bonfire we had last weekend was our first, you know, just get together with our couples to let them know that we're not just only house party people, you know, and, you know, to convince, you know, to make them feel comfortable. It's just not, you know, the only time you get a chance to fuck us is at our house parties, you know. But no, I mean, our rules are, for us at least, they're constantly always changing and developing and moving. And during that period, I seem to find myself having to sleep in the doghouse a few times. You know, I admit it.
Well, boundaries are there to be obeyed but tested. I mean, you can always renegotiate boundaries, I think, and
yeah,
we're constantly renegotiating different things. And,
yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and cut off the interview there. It's about an hour and 10 minutes or so, and the interview ran long, so we're going to split this interview into two parts. The second part will come out in 2 weeks, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up. So, JB, why don't you take us home?
All right, thanks, everybody, for listening to the first half of our Behind Closed Door interview. And please send us listener email, listener feedback. This is our first interview, so we'd love to hear some feedback from you. We know that there may have been some audio issues to work through, but any other feedback that you have for us, we'd really love it. You can reach us at swingingaround@gmail.com. No G at the end of swinging. You can also reach us through our new Facebook fan page, which is just Swinging Around. You can find that on Facebook now, so go ahead and like us. We'd really like that. And then, of course, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. You can follow us on Twitter, Swinging Around. And no G at the end of swinging. And then also our blog is swinging-around.blogspot.com.
All right, everyone. Stay sexy and stay swinging.